Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brand.
Live at Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. You find it at 99 in Spring, Steubner. Swing on by. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Wilhouse will be here until 7. We're giving away haircuts each and every hour today. If you're not one of the lucky winners, we'll just swing by the Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. Mention ESPN 97.5. $7 off your haircut on grand opening weekend, which is today, tomorrow. It is tomorrow, Sunday as well. BK just sat down in one of the chairs. He's about to get a
Cody's
little cut.
Outside.
Cody's going to have that beard trimmed, I hope. I hope Cody has that beard trimmed. Really? BK. BMAC is going to have his beard trimmed too. Which,
really?
I mean, I feel sorry for whoever has to handle that thing. Gee. That thing is, I mean, that's hard nest. There's birds living in that thing.
They had to clear their schedule.
Do they make, like, beard deodorant and stuff? Because, like, a certain amount of time, we used to say, like, with James Harden, like, there might be, like, species living in the underbelly of that beard.
I think BMAC has species living in the
underbelly
of his beard.
You think last week's breakfast still
is
somewhere?
You're trying to say I have, like, wildlife living in my beard?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's exactly what you're saying.
I mean, it could be a bird's nest.
It could be a bat.
It could be they left the eggs that became breakfast last week and is now in the second layer of the chin music.
Yeah, I don't know.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? It's in my beard.
That's going to be a daunting task.
There's a new game show on the Killer Bees.
What's that?
What's in BMAC's beard?
Yeah.
Hopefully Luis Garcia's
no
ERA.
To play.
Luis Garcia pitching yesterday. Look, tough game to pitch in, and Garcia didn't really get into trouble until he got into trouble in the fourth, got out of it, gave up the three spot in the fifth inning. Was really good, I thought, in the first three innings of that game.
Yep.
Maybe got into a little bit of trouble, was able to work around most of it. And look, it's tough to pitch in a game in which you're sitting in the dugout for 30-minute half innings when you have a 10-0 lead. It takes a little bit of the edge off, like General Ben does with their spirits. It does take the edge off when you're pitching with a 10-run lead. So, like, I don't look at the Luis Garcia three runs over five innings, which isn't terrible. But in a game like that, whatever, I'm willing to give it a free pass. Now, I've had people asking me, Luis Garcia, will not only he not even be in the playoff rotation, people are asking me if he'll be on the playoff roster.
Stop it.
I'm having people ask me that. I can show you the receipts.
Have you seen Will Smith lately? Have you seen Maton? Look. Luis Garcia has done so much good for this entire season. I totally understand, and we've discussed the fact that he's probably not going to be in the playoff rotation. But that doesn't mean that he's going to be completely off the playoff roster, no matter what the other choices that you have or may make. That's the kind of thing that makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, like the hair Doc Linville planted when he did the thing. I'm just trying to be Jeremy.
We're just going to flex on each other the entire rest of the
show. We just keep doing it the rest of the show. I think, you know, like the strength of Apollo Men's Health, I think the fact that the strength of this team is their pitching staff. And I think that when you look at it, Luis Garcia has played a role in that, and he deserves to have a role on this playoff roster. Now, to yesterday, what I will say is there's a couple of things to add. You're right, he had to watch the offense. But from his perspective, that should make you say, I need to throw more strikes now because I've got a lead, I've got a pad, and now it's more important that I eat up the innings. Yep. The fact that his pitch count was up and he was not effective kind of put them in a precarious position, and then it showed again where some of the weaknesses may lie for this team still in trying to figure out their bullpen.
It's so hard to have that competitive edge, though, when you're looking at a 10-0 game. Remember two starts ago when Luis Garcia didn't get the strike three, and then he got ticked off and was nails after that? That's impossible over five innings in which you have the 10-run lead. So Dusty Baker's not going to be calling up HRMP to try to figure out a way to hand a pink slip to Luis Garcia before you go to the postseason. Luis Garcia is going to be on this playoff roster. Now, I don't think he's going to be part of the playoff rotation. I think you have five other names that are ahead of the the power rankings, the pecking order of Luis Garcia for the playoffs. You have Verlander, Fromber, Lance McCullers. I would put Javier and Urquidy both ahead of Luis Garcia when I'm having the playoff rotation discussion. Now, where I think the question lies with Luis Garcia is if you know he's going to be coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs, which I think is a fair bet to make currently as we talk here in late August, you know that you have off days in September. Like, yeah, you want to look at Justin Verlander's workload. Yeah, you want to limit Fromber, who I think leads the league in innings pitched.
He does now.
Last
yeah.
I looked, he was first. I hadn't looked today.
Yep.
Lance McCullers coming off the, I'm not going to say TJ, but coming off the UCL strain. You want to kind of limit him a little bit. But you also try to find the balance of building them up for the postseason. So knowing you have the days off in September, you might be going down to a five-man rotation in September because of the days off anyways, or you're conditioning them for the postseason. Do you think Luis Garcia to the bullpen makes sense when September rolls around to get him accustomed and familiar with the role?
So you need insurance, right? You need to have that coverage, like the best warranties in the business, like Fitz Roofing. That's why you go and make sure that you have insurance policies in your pitching staff.
Man,
and you're also
I'm out of sponsors.
And
it's
you're
not fair.
Also prepping yourself to, for you know the best success when it matters the most. So therefore, the same way we talked about, do you experiment with Chaz in center? Do you experiment with Mancini in left? So you can figure out, can they do it? And are they meant to do it for when you need them in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. That's the same reason why that you're going to try and Luis Garcia, if he's going to be in the bullpen. We already know he's probably, it's almost a given. He won't be in the starting rotation.
Yeah.
So then put him in the role that he's going to be in when he's going to be used and counted on the most in the playoffs and put him in the pen. You could do a lot worse than having someone better than Phil Maton or better than Will Smith, and that could be your guy right there. We talked about no matter what they decide to do with their rotation, their bullpen gets better exponentially
yep.
because of the fact that if it's not Javier, which we assume it's not, he goes back to a role that he knows that he's excelled at. And then if it's Garcia, the other guy, he could be your long guy that can either soak up innings or be effective both in the short and the long term when you need him and you need your best pitchers. So I think it's a win-win, and I think that it's absolutely fair to think in September he'll be coming out of the pen.
A lot of people are worried about Garcia coming out of the pen because he's never done it. Now, I think if you have Garcia who can empty the tank, he can start dunking on some hitters like if you were dunking on a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. Like that, to me, if you just have him empty in the tank, he can touch 97. He can touch 98 if he's pitching for that one inning. I think he's got nasty stuff to where he would be a really good reliever. We haven't seen him in that role a ton and really haven't seen him out in that role since 2020. So it gives you concern of being able to go to him in a game of significance. I also don't think Luis Garcia is necessarily, like, he's not going to be a leverage guy. He's not going to be higher on the pecking order of Ryan Stanek. He's not going to be higher than Rafael Montero. He's not going to be higher than Neris. He's not going to be higher than Presley. So Garcia's role is probably going to be more or less kind of the bridge to get you to a Stanek in case the wheels fall off the bus of one of your starters. So make him familiar with that role starting in September. He's not going to be in the playoff rotation. I understand that. And even if you need an emergency starter, a sixth starter in September, because maybe you don't want Lance McCullers to pitch on 4 days rest, Javier or Urquidy on 4 days rest. So throw Luis Garcia out there once every 7 days when he's not pitching in that emergency spot starter role. Make him kind of that bridge guy in the bullpen. Save the arms in the back end, but also get him ready for the role that he's going to be really being used as once the playoffs roll around.
Here's the other thing you got to consider, Jeremy. Maybe it didn't catch up with him last year like you thought it might because of the fact that this was the most innings that he had ever thrown in professional baseball.
Uh-huh.
But it may be to the point that he's not been as effective lately and he hasn't been as sharp because he's starting to get tired. And so a move to the pen can help him because the one thing that you want to do is guarantee that you know that when you pad the brakes, like, you know, you just had your brakes done at New Brakes, and the fact that you know that you're going to stop when you need to stop, you need to stop at the appropriate time with Luis Garcia and say, guess what? If he's had a little extra wear and tear, nothing like structurally wrong, but he's just kind of gassed. The fact that you can put him in the bullpen, he doesn't have to throw as often or as many pitches or as many innings, but like you said, and focus more on getting ready to do what he's going to be called on to do in the playoffs, which is empty the tank a little faster, throw a little harder and be a little bit more effective in shorter doses, and also learn to bounce back quicker than every fifth or sixth day, that you're setting yourself up for success in the playoffs instead of potentially setting yourself up for failure by not putting him in that bullpen, exhausting him as a starting pitcher, And then when you need him the most in the playoffs, he's got nothing left in the tank.
9-7-2-3, I think Javier will be back in the pen for the playoffs based off his experience and comfort coming from the pen. Playoffs isn't the time to switch from starter to pen. No tell how Garcia will adjust or perform. Garcia was used out of the pen quite often in 2020. But this kind of illustrates the point, 9-7-2-3. Like, I am agreeing with you that the playoffs aren't the time, ideally, of when you want to convert a starter to a reliever. Although sometimes I think we might put too much stock on the difficulty of that when you're trying to get the most out of you for, like, you know, a 3-week stretch in the postseason, maybe slightly longer. But that's why you do it in September. That's why you get him accustomed to the role. So don't make the, you know, the change once you roll around in October, once the ALDS comes around. Get him ready for that. Yeah. Start to look ahead. Forecast it out a little bit. Be proactive, knowing that Garcia is not going to crack this four-man rotation and that he's going to have to be in that role. So get him used to it. See what he's going to look like in that spot.
Look, I think that smart general managers, smart organizations that have playoff aspirations and World Series hopes are the kinds of organizations that say Hunter Brown came out of the bullpen recently in Sugar Land for a reason. Mm-hmm. They know long-term he's going to be a starter, but short-term, if there's any chance of him helping this team this year, which they're not completely ruling out, they wanted to make sure that he got some time out of the bullpen to see if he could do it, be effective, and be a guy they could consider. The fact is, you don't want to take gambles and roll the dice like you were doing at MyBookie. You want to do it like because you're going into the playoffs and you're setting yourself up to say, hey, I know what I know. I know what he can and can't do, and therefore I'm going to give myself the best chance to win.
And also to this text, too, like it's not a Javier versus Garcia discussion, because even if you eliminate both of them, Javier, Garcia, eliminate them by taking them out of the rotation, moving them to the playoff bullpen, it's not one or the other. Like, it's one of three. It's either Javier, Garcia, or Urquidy. Because the top three, look, Lance McCullers still has some work to be done. You feel better about Lance McCullers now than you did prior to his first big league start. But every sign of the wall shows you that it's going to be JV, Fromber, Lance McCullers, and then the fourth spot is up for grabs between Javier, Urquidy, and Garcia. So even if Javier gets moved to the bullpen, you're still going to have to move somebody else to the bullpen. It could be Javier and Luis Garcia. It could be Garcia and Urquidy. I like Urquidy in the starting role. Christian Javier just has such high-end potential, though. Like, Javier can – we saw what he did with the Yankees. Like, that's the one you're always going to point to as his best start of the season. But because he does have that volatility of being really, really good, or sometimes he might give up 2-3 runs over 3-4 innings, it makes him harder to trust, in my opinion, than a Jose Urquidy in the starting rotation. But I think Luis Garcia is a lock for the bullpen. The other one's still up for grabs. I think Javier and Urquidy are going to be fighting tooth and nail all the way until the postseason for that final spot in the rotation.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that when you look at it from the perspective of Lance McCullers as it relates to that conversation, we said what we saw and how impressed we were, but it was the A's. We're going to see and learn a whole lot more because I've been harping on the fact I need to see 4-7 starts in the majors over the last however many games left in the regular season to see what I can expect and hope for the postseason. Tonight's a big test for him because he's playing the World Series champs. Yep. He's playing a quality baseball team in the Atlanta Braves. And now you're going to get another really clear-cut evaluation of where Lance McCullers is on this pecking order and the chances of him taking one of those top four spots in the rotation. If he pitches his ass off again tonight, if he pushes and gives you six innings and gives you even 3 or 4 runs, but you see him against good quality hitters making good quality pitches, and maybe his pitch count is up a little bit, but the fact is he's effective, that gives you the next positive sign. You can keep moving forward with that plan.
Yeah.
If he gets lit up, and now you're not going to pass the evaluation either way yet. You're not going to go pass-fail, but you're going to say, okay, now I need more time because now I'm a little less confident in the A's start. Now I'm a little more concerned about his next start because now you got one of each.
Look, the Astros are trying to trim 6 starters down to 4 by the time the playoffs come around. I want them to play survivor and eliminate one of them now. Eliminate one of them now, move into the bullpen, let them get acclimated to life as a reliever, and then trim it down to 5-4 if you need to once the playoffs come around. You will need to, but barring injury. 713-780-ESPN. What would the plan be for you? 713-780-3776. You also mentioned the Hunter Brown aspect. Is there even going to be a place for Hunter Brown this year? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
Hey, back on the Bees, alive and in the Hive, but today the Hive on the road as we are at Roosters Men's Grooming Center. And grooming they do, and they do it better than anybody else, and we are all live living proof of that today. If there's anything that can give any hope to BK not being single forever, it is the work being done on him right now in the chair. Cody right now is face up, back down, making sure that his grooming will not make you frown as he is getting worked on as well. It's like a surgical procedure in here with all the work we've had done today.
You can still rhyme. You still have that in your arsenal.
I
you still got that in the repertoire.
Sometimes some people think that's all I had back in the day. But, yeah, I can still do what
I got
to do.
You got a little rhyming. You want to give away a haircut?
Wait.
that's the giveaway. Oh man, I don't know if I can live with that. I don't know how Lisa does it. I really don't. But anyways,
I'm pretty sure I don't need to make the rooster sound at home.
Giving away haircut. First five callers. We're doing it every hour until 7 o'clock. You win a free haircut to Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. The number, it's a little different than our normal number. 832-843-3974. Haircut on us. 832-843-3974. And look, if you aren't lucky enough to win, come on out here anyways to the Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring, 99 Spring Steubner. $7 off your haircuts today, tomorrow, Sunday, all part of the grand opening weekend here at the Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. Hunter Brown. For the Houston Astros. You mentioned yesterday, Sugarland Space Cowboys, 2 days ago, I suppose now. Dazzled again. 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, punched out 8. His numbers this year have been fantastic. Sub 250 ERA, 126 strikeouts in 97 innings. Dude has been nails in Sugarland. He's one of your best prospects. I think he is the best prospect. Any Baseball America, MLB.com, wherever you look for your prospects, Hunter Brown is at the top of the Houston Astros prospect list. Look, he's ready. This isn't a conversation about being ready, needing more seasoning. He's ready to go. This guy could get outs on the big league level right now. To what degree, we don't know. We don't know how the transition for some players coming from AAA to the bigs will be. The question becomes, though, is there even going to be a place for Hunter Brown with the Houston Astros this year?
Well, I'll tell you this, Jeremy. You know, up to the other day, we were pretty much convinced that it wouldn't be the right move to start the clock on him and that he'd be better suited just, you know, being a part of this team starting next year. But I think it's twofold. It's, you know, we've heard Pat Creighton say, look, he's got some of the best stuff in AAA. He's a starter. We've heard Keith Law say he's a relief pitcher in the major leagues.
Uh-huh.
So there's the one school of thought, which is you got to find out what he's going to be for you when you use him. But then I think on top of that, when you look at the major league roster and you look at the recent results and you look at the Will Smith, who basically, I don't know that you put a whole ton of stock in what you were getting in return for the addition by subtraction of getting rid of Odorizzi, but I think that you saw a guy that was effective against you in the World Series last year, so you thought, hey, if this guy's got anything of that left in him, I could use him. But lately, he's looked shaky at best. Maton has looked shaky at best. You look at guys that were in the discussion for who would be on your playoff roster, and if they are faltering, if they give you reason for doubt or serious concern, and you have a guy in your farm system, in your pipeline, that could actually be a guy that has a class arm that could be used in a way to help you this season. And we said, look, the goal, no matter how good it is to stay relevant and winning as an organization for the long term, the goal is to win a World Series this year. And if you know you got a guy that is sitting there that could possibly help you, well, then you know what? Thoughts and plans can change on a daily basis. You might want to make sure that you exercise all options, and if he can help you, bring him up.
Long term, he's a starter until he fails. The Astros view him as a starting pitcher until he fails. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a reliever this year.
Right.
David Price is an example that I go to. Wasn't there a Brewer, Corbin? Wasn't
great
Corbin
example.
Burns that way too? They brought him out of the bullpen early in his career,
first year of his career,
and then he became that starter down the road. The Astros could go that same route with Hunter. Look, he's not going to be a starter on this team, barring something drastic happening, tons of injuries, things like that. He's not going to start on the 2022 Houston Astros. Now, he could be a weapon out of the bullpen. The problem with that is the Astros aren't desperate for relief pitching right now. In fact, you can make the case there's a surplus there. Seth Martinez has been terrific this year. He was the odd man out with the numbers game once Lance McCullers came back. The Astros have the best bullpen ERA in all of baseball. So Hunter Brown, how is he providing you a weapon when he's going to be an unknown? Like, it'd be one thing if you had the bullpen back that you had in 2017 when you had, like, Gregerson that was back there. Ken Giles at one point was back there. Like, you were seeking help out of the bullpen. The Astros aren't to that spot. So the thing that I always point to when we look at Hunter Brown is the role that he would play on this team. I really think he'd be the lowest leverage relief pitcher if you were to call him up right now for, let's say, you DFA Will Smith. You're not really going to use him in a way where he is a weapon. So if you're not going to use a very talented arm who is going to be very good, you hope, and he is a very big part of your plans, why start the clock on somebody who's not going to be a big weapon for your organization if he's a weapon at all?
I think it's because they're starting to doubt the guys they have that they're going to be relying on to some degree. They're not going to be relying on most of the guys to be high leverage guys, but they're going to be relying on guys more frequently to come in and get the job done. We've seen this in the past. Playoff baseball changes. All your starters aren't going to go 6-7. There's going to be situations and high leverage situations that pop up to where a starter that you normally get 6 or 7 from, you might only get 4.5, 4.75. You have to go through a lot more arms. If you know that it's not going to improve taking a starter out and going to one of those guys like a Smith, like a Maton, but it might be you might be better suited if you get some major league experience during the last part of the regular season for a guy with the arm of a Hunter Brown, and you find out, hey, if I need one out, if I need 3 outs or 4 outs, I got a guy that is better than what I have that gives me a better chance to win. Then I think you got to say, you know what, throw caution to the wind, start the clock,
because you have a better chance to win. But you don't have that in the playoffs. Because if you in that role, you're going to have two of Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia, and Christian Javier that you would have in that spot. So it might give you a better chance to win September games when September games really aren't going to matter because you have a huge division lead.
Well, but it's going to be interesting from now on how they use him in Sugar Land, because they showed that they brought him in, but he went 6 innings.
But it was a piggyback.
Right.
It was a piggyback.
Right. He went 6 innings. So if you start using him differently to where you bring him in out of the pen and he goes 1 inning, and then a night or two later he does it again.
It's a tell.
Now you're starting to see the plan develop that this is going to be something they're going to consider. But if you're just piggybacking him and doing 50-50 starts and he's just going 4, 5, or 6 innings, no matter whether he starts or he comes out of the bullpen, then it's more of a clear-cut example that they're not ready to start the clock on him yet.
Yeah, I just don't see a way that he's on this team. Because, like, even September call-ups, like, people, well, he'll be up in the team with September. It's not 40-man in September anymore. It's 28.
One pitcher and one position player is essentially what's coming up.
And you naturally have the one pitcher ready to go in Seth Martinez, who didn't deserve to be sent down. He was just part of the numbers game. And they even told him, look, don't look at this as a negative. Like, you've been doing everything right. So if that's the message to Seth Martinez, hey, look, this is just a numbers game. You've been doing everything right. How can you not call him up on September 1st?
And then even from the position player standpoint, J.J. Mattejevic is the guy that's up currently.
Yeah.
But that's because of the injury to Diaz. But he's been a guy that's been there, done that, put in the work on the major league level with this team this season. And you figure, well, we'll just keep getting him at bats. But if they decide to change course and say, no, I really want to see what a Leon can do in the last 30 games
he's
of the season.
Too, and like, yeah, that would or, add a spot to you know, the
pick
40 man.
Pick a guy. Or do I owe it to Corey Lee?
Third catcher.
Who's been up. Yeah,
I like third catcher.
And because, right, on the playoff roster, it makes sense to have a third catcher that maybe I'm going to go that route. But I think it's more clear-cut on the position player side than it is on the bullpen, but it's still pretty much spelled out for you that you can't punish a guy that was basically the odd man out. And there's an argument to be made. He didn't deserve to be sent down. Seth Martinez did everything and way more than was expected of him the first time they brought him up. That's why he stuck so long. And I think that you owe it to him to a certain degree. And it also gives you more of a solidified bullpen if you realize, hey, here's a guy that is sitting there right there ready for the taking that has been there all season for me. I can plug him back in, and I got a chance to get guys out.
Whoever got sent down wasn't going to be deserving of being sent down.
Right.
Like Maton, like, he wasn't pitching the best, but he was still all right at the time that you made that decision. And you relied on him for some big outs last year in the playoffs. That wasn't going to be the decision. You weren't going to DFA Will Smith because you just traded for him, and it's just bad optics, even though you could make the case that would be the best option. And it certainly wasn't going to be Brian Abreu, who's just dominant. Do you see him last night? He struck out the side in order. Dude, his nails in a 24-2 game.
He had a three-touchdown advantage.
The best, yeah.
Yeah, there, there was nothing to get the gerbil on the treadmill in his head to start grinding when you got that big of a pad.
Brian Abreu, the best four-minute offense in the entire major leagues. Hunter Brown, is there a role for him? Is there a path for Hunter Brown to be an Astro this year? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Is Jordan hurt? We also need a song for Lance McCullers. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roof, and I've been telling you about them for a long time. Look, you don't want those fly-by-night roofers that take your money up front and then don't give you the service, don't give you the actual results, and when you try and reach back out to get them to do the job right, they're already long gone and you can't find them. That's not what they do at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing is here to help. They have the best warranties in the business, the best ratings in the business, and the best customer service. And you can ask me, because I had a fence put in my yard 2 months ago from Fitz Roofing. They did it right. They did it right the first time, and they did it while communicating with me every step of the way. Check them out today for anything you got going on, and the reason why I suggest you do that is they do free, no-obligation inspections. It costs you absolutely nothing for them to analyze and evaluate what they could do to help you see it through. That means that if you've got something with a home repair that you need done, or something like a leaky roof or a whole new roof on your business, your commercial establishment, or your house, all you got to do is get in touch with Fitz Roofing, and they won't charge you a service fee of $75 to $100 to come check it out. They'll check it out for free and tell you how they can do the deal from start to finish. All you got to do is call them, 832-521-3001. They come to you, tell you what they can do, they go on with the rest of their day. You want them to do the actual work, you just book the appointment. They're going to come back and they're going to make you happy throughout the process. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Roosters Men's Grooming Center in Spring. Swing on by today. We'll be here till 7. Swing on by tomorrow,
well,
Sunday.
The Wheelhouse will be here till 7.
We as a station.
As a
you
station.
You shouldn't look at this so independently
well,
as just
in
yourself.
Well, in spirit, well, you're going to stay?
I said we as a station.
Yeah, so in spirit, you and I will be here while listening on the way home, but the Wheelhouse will actually pass the torch
their
and
presence.
Then take it till 7.
Yeah, their physical presence. Yeah. That's absolutely right. Your physical presence is wanted here at Roosters Men's Grooming Center. You swing on by today, tomorrow, Sunday, $7 off your haircut if you mention ESPN 97.5. We were talking about Hunter Brown, 6383 texting into the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I think by McCullers coming back, it pushes Hunter Brown out of the rotation. He's never in the rotation. But only way I see Brown playing this year is if he comes out of the bullpen. If that's the plan, they need to bring him up now and get him settled into that role. Agreed. If he comes up, the only way he'll be with this team is out of the bullpen. You can't call him up now, though. Like, if you're calling him up now, you're sitting someone down, and I don't know who it is that you'd be sitting down, unless you're DFAing Will Smith, but that means you're also calling him up ahead of Seth Martinez, which I don't believe that exists.
No.
I just, like, Hunter Brown, is he a better arm than Abreu? Yeah, maybe. Is he a better arm than Martinez? Yeah, maybe. Is he a better arm than Will Smith? Yeah, absolutely. But is that enough of a role to warrant bringing him up and starting the clock? I don't see it. I just don't see it.
See, and there's a way, there's a means to get to where you need to get to without having to call him up, too. You can continue to use him out of the bullpen in Sugarland, because it's not going to be about the effectiveness of getting outs, because we know he can do that. He's proven he can do that right now. But what we need to know is, if there's even a thought or consideration of using him in the bullpen, can he continue to pitch out of the pen in Sugarland, and then it's how his arm reacts.
And they haven't even used him in that role.
Right.
Like you mentioned, he was out of the pen, but 6 innings.
Can you come in and deal with high leverage? Can you come in and empty the tank only over 3 or 4 batters as opposed to 3 or 4 innings?
Yep.
Then can you bounce back in a day or two as opposed to every fifth day? If you start evaluating that in AAA, you're figuring out and finding out a lot of what you need to know if you even have a thought of using him in the postseason without having to start the clock and bring him up to the major league level. Because then at a certain point, you want to see if he can get major league hitters out. And you don't know how the rest of the regular season is going to play out. Injuries happen. Setbacks occur. and there might be another opportunity where you can actually bring him up.
That's the path
but
is injury.
Absolutely.
That's the path is injury. 713-780-ESPN. Yordan Alvarez for the Houston Astros. People think he's been struggling as of late, which, I mean, hadn't been the normal Yordan Alvarez in the month of August, 222. He's only homered one time in the month of August. So certainly, you know, hasn't been producing like we've known Yordan Alvarez to produce. I've heard a lot of people mention, and maybe they're being alarmist, maybe sensationalizing it a bit, that they think Yordan Alvarez is hurt. I don't see anything in Yordan Alvarez's game. Now, I don't understand that the results aren't good. You're trying to find rhyme and reason to why the numbers aren't good. But whenever I watch Yordan Alvarez and I take the results out of it, I don't see a hurt baseball player. He's playing almost every single day. He's playing more in left field now since last week's news of Brantley being out for the year. He's taking batting practice every day, and he's still crushing the baseball. And I don't,
what was
I just
the double,
I don't see
110 miles an hour.
And
the
he's
other
had,
day?
And look, that was a hit. But he's had hard lineouts. He's had hard groundouts. I don't see a hurt baseball player. I see a hurt slugger that's reeling a little bit and is chasing pitches out of the zone.
I'll tell you another thing, because I agree with what you said. I also see a bunch of baseball teams that have started to catch up with the scouting report and realize when they put that shift on and where the guys are, it makes a difference because he is hitting some lasers, but he's hitting them where that third defender is over on that side of the – you know, he got the one left center field gap shot the other night, and it was like, okay, maybe he's making an adjustment to the adjustments because now he's waiting an extra half second, and he's understanding, look, I'm getting screwed, and everybody thinks there's something wrong with me. I'm still hitting the hell out of the baseball, barreling it up. It's just that the shifts and the defenses that are being presented are more accurate now in trying to stop me than they were when I first got going.
Yeah, I don't see a hurt baseball player there. I know the numbers aren't there for Yordan in August like they've been everywhere else, but he's still clobbering the baseball. He's playing every day. If he was hurt, he's not going to be taking batting practice and playing defense. To me, Yordan's as healthy as he's been all year. He's just kind of chasing some pitches out of the zone. The plate discipline hasn't been there.
The other point of that is, too, and we talked about this the other day, when Springer was dealing with a similar injury, it wasn't every swing, but occasionally he was wincing in pain on a swing and then stepping out of the box, and you could tell in between at-bats on the dugout he was flexing his hand to where you look at him and every at-bat, and he looks confident. He's swinging with all that force, and I don't ever see him stop and look at his hand or feel it.
I haven't seen him grimace post-All-Star break.
I haven't either.
I haven't seen him grimace post-All-Star break. And like we talked about the Hammett injury and that little, you know, the little bone in your hand.
Yep.
That's an injury where it's either broken or it's not. Like, and if it was broken, there's no way they're letting Yordan Alvarez, since the All-Star break, play through a broken bone in his hand when it's a 6 to 8 week injury and you'd have him back by the playoffs. Like, the hamate being broken, I don't believe is a thing. The hamate being sore, it's either broken or it's not. It's a yes or no. Are you pregnant or are you not? I look at Yordan Alvarez, and I don't see anything to do with injury whatsoever, and the Astros' use of Yordan Alvarez tells me that there is zero concern about any sort of injury.
Well, that's the other thing. They weren't shy about saying we're giving him a day off with hand soreness in the past. Discomfort, sorry. He was experiencing hand discomfort.
Be very, very clear.
So therefore, we're giving him the day off and sometimes 2 days off. You're not hearing that anymore. You're not seeing that anymore because he's not sitting down as frequently. And he's in the lineup in a spot where you know that he's going to get a lot of significant at-bats. I don't think that's anything health-related at this point in the season. I think it's more or less, like I said, defenses are adjusting, scouting reports are changing. He's also probably trying to adjust on the fly as well to try and utilize the other side of the field, to try and hit the ball in the left center field alley as opposed to pulling everything. So I think that it's a work in progress, but I don't think that if there was something to be concerned with health-wise, I think we've seen it by now. Yeah. I think it's just totally opposite of that. I think it's just adjustments made on the fly.
He and Bregman, too, I believe, you have to check my math on this, have played more games than any other Astro since the All-Star break. So if he was banged up, if he's hurt, you have a double-digit lead in the division. You now lead the American League. You're not even really playing for that. James Click's like, oh, yeah, home field advantage is great, but oh, look at that 4-5 matchup. The 4-5 matchup might, or the 3-6 matchup might be a little bit better. So like, they're not even pressing for that. So if they're not pressing for that, they're not pressing for the home field advantage, they're in no concern for their playoff spot, Yordan Alvarez would not play in more games than anybody else on this team since the All-Star break if there was any concern of an injury whatsoever.
As it relates to that, think about this too. How quick does Dusty like to give guys days off?
Oh, he's day off Dusty, as BK calls
him. Right, and a lot of times he's going to give them a day off before the team has a day off. Mm-hmm. So you would see Yordan sitting a lot more frequently if there was a health-related issue. I think now you're seeing him out there even maybe possibly more frequently because of the fact that you want him to work through what he's going to do.
He's not hurt.
His plate approach, if it's going to change or he's going to wait an extra half second and try and not pull everything, or if he's going to adjust to the way that the guys are pitching him and the shift is playing him, you need as many at-bats as possible to try and work your way through that. And so, therefore, he's not sitting down. So I think it's anything but a health issue, and I think that, you know, he's going to be fine. It's just he's barreling the ball
up. Yeah, he is. He's going to come out of it. He's going to come out of it. He had a good game yesterday, too, but every Astro had a good game yesterday except for Jake Myers.
Even Lance Pena.
Jeremy Pena had a couple hit knocks. Yeah. Had a couple knocks. That was good to see. Lance McCullers, Kyle Wright, pitching matchup, game one of a very interesting three-game series in Atlanta, rematch of the 2021 World Series. We haven't given Lance McCullers a song. We haven't given Christian Javier a song.
Well, I got
either.
One. I already said
for
it.
Lance?
I put it on Twitter. Yeah, I had it on Twitter the first day.
Which, what's the
Return of the Mac.
Oh, yeah, Return of the Mac.
Return
I liked,
the Mac.
I wanted Hurt by Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Well, we can actually, always hurt.
I mean, we should have done a poll.
Well, yeah, let us know. 713-780-ESPN. What should the song for Lance McCullers be? He's on the bump tonight.
It was
Atlanta.
Ideal Return of the Mac for his first game coming back and the fact that he pitched his tail off. But, I mean, look, we need a song for him because and you know, the problem is we've set ourselves up to fail because we didn't have a song and he pitched really well. Now if we actually get a song and we play
maybe before he pitches. Maybe we can think of things today.
Let's think of them, but let's not actually play whatever song wins until his next start so we don't take it on the chin for this one.
You like Return of the Mac, huh?
I do.
Nothing to do with his injury concerns.
Oh, but it's about the fact that he's coming back. And if it's the Return of the Mac, it's a very good thing for the Astros.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. 713-780-ESPN. What should be McCullers' song? The Killer Bees plays when Lance McCullers is taking his trip in the rotation. 713-780-3776. Death lineup yesterday for Dusty. Was that the death lineup? And is 11 games enough for Deshaun Watson? We'll ask one of the Wheelhousemen that when we return. But first, I'll tell you about some Gentle Ben. I like a good drink at the end of the day, sometimes in the middle of the day. Vodka, gin, bourbon, they're all part of the rotation for me. And a local Texas brand, Gentle Ben Spirits, does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. Gentle Ben line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art innovative Proseto craft technology that's better in purity, better in aroma, better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentlebin.com. If you're in Beaumont, head over to Deb's Liquor. If you're in Pearland, head over to Broadway Liquor and find some Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, head to the tasting room and get that Alvin. Head to the tasting room in Alvin and get that bourbon. Also, if you're looking for a place to host your fantasy football draft, do it at the tasting room in Alvin. Have some great spirits as you draft your fantasy football teams. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best, Gentle Ben, the union of tradition and invention.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Rooster's Men's Grooming Center in Spring, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
Killer Bees broadcasting live from Rooster's Men's Grooming Center in Spring, 99 Spring. Stubner, the Wheelhouse, will be here directly after us beginning at 7 o'clock. We'll be giving away haircuts each and every hour until 7 o'clock, so make sure you're listening for that if you're not one of the lucky winners. $7 off your haircut today, tomorrow, and Sunday for the grand opening weekend when you mention ESPN 97.5. Yeah, BK is here with us today. BK got a nice
BK's
little haircut.
BK's on board with this, too. Hank is the guy that was completely driving this. But during the Wheelhouse, in order to get the $7 discount and possibly get a free haircut, while they're on the air, just throw open the front door of Rooster's Men's Grooming here. Come in and just go. So when we're on the air, when you guys are listening to the Wheelhouse on your drive home, if you just hear randoms yelling that, that means that they're taking advantage of being a loyal ESPN listener. That's what we're all about.
We were hoping you were going to stay until 7 o'clock to take care of that for everybody else.
It's also true that BK, instead of calling me a rooster, called me the South Carolina mascot, which is not fair, not nice, and not something we need to consider.
It's
he
a synonym.
You a Gamecock?
It's the same thing.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Oh. Why not?
Whether it's game or not has nothing to do with you, sir.
Mm.
Well played. Thank you. Move on. Let's
which
go.
Which Will Houseman is most likely to yell like a rooster?
BK.
I don't think so.
No, I think it's Jake.
I don't know.
Cody wears spandex.
It's probably Andrew Carlson.
And wrestles, so it's not Coatster. Coat's going to take care of business.
Man, that means Cody's willing to do whatever.
So if you're going to yell like a rooster or squeal like a pig, I would go Jake.
Okay. All right, we'll see if Jake is up to that. Brad Kellner is, of course, hanging out with us. Looks sharp. Looks very, very good. Haircut looks great.
This place is awesome. Shout out to Andre. Took care of me.
Yeah?
I mean, this place is legit. Brand new, super nice, great haircut, great service. You guys got the experience, too.
Oh, Kathy took care of me, but we actually traded hair. I gave her back her hairstyle, and she gave me a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had that look, and it was great on me, but it looks better on her.
I really liked the way you looked as a blonde.
I know. I mean, and I had more fun, but I made the adjustment.
Can you go back to that hair at some point? Can y'all trade back in the future?
Well, how much money you got?
Okay, I like that look.
Okay, well, we'll negotiate.
Okay.
We were talking about songs for Lance McCullers. BK, you think of one. 1984 American Badass by Kid Rock. 7095.
But his name is Lance, not Kid.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that one. 7095 No Diggity by Blackstreet, Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad
idea. I like that song.
It's a pretty good option. And Judas Priest by Painkiller.
Judas Priest is a band.
I think Painkiller's
the song.
I got it flipped. Yeah. Painkiller the song by Judas Priest.
Yeah.
My bad. I got it backwards. It's a Friday. It's the last segment of the week. We're allowed to make some mistakes.
Why do I feel like Cody's going to capitalize on that in the next
It might be a couple
four
of
hours.
Too.
Yeah, there you go, Hank. Yeah. Yeah, swing for
we
the
like
fences,
to,
Jeremy.
Like
it's the last
time.
Segment.
We like to have a good time Friday. Anything you're on top of your mind, BK?
Well, I have no idea what's going on because Brendan usually texts me what's coming up in crosstalk, so I usually have an idea of what I'm supposed
to
say.
I don't have your number.
Just find a song
for
McCullers. We didn't ask you what's coming up on the Wheelhouse.
Okay, find a song for McCullers. I mean, Return of the Mac makes a lot of sense. I heard you talk about that one. You guys fans of boy bands?
Jeremy is.
Brendan's a big fan.
How about Backstreet's Back?
Backstreet's Back.
It's a classic. Feels like everybody in the Astros starting rotation is back. The name of the song is Everybody. Back.
And if there was any Astro starting pitcher in the rotation that would be part of a boy band, I think I would go Lance McCullers.
Well, when he's not salsa dancing, he would fit ideally into a song and dance routine on stage.
There's no other Astro in the rotation that would be part of a boy band than Lance McCullers.
The Fromber hair change makes me think he could be a candidate, but he's nowhere close to McCullers.
Both hair changes, because Garcia went to the beads, Fromber went to the extensions.
Yeah. We need Garcia to go back to whatever
he was. I was thinking the same thing last night. I was like, you know what? Maybe it's time that Garcia goes back to the all-natural ponytail.
Whatever it takes. We need the old Luis Garcia back.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Nice. Speaking of the Astros, the offense, of course, was big yesterday, needless to say. Was that the death lineup we've seen the last couple of days for the Astros? Like, whoever the catcher is, whatever. But everybody else, the other eight.
I don't think it's a whoever the catcher, what else. I mean, when's Maldonado had a four-hit game? When's the last time he's done that? So, look, you can't bank on that every night.
The last one was against a softball pitcher.
Yeah, probably. But he was 4-for-12. Could only hit .333 against them. Look, Maldonado has a purpose. I know his role. It's not worth arguing to get Christian Vasquez in there every day. But, I mean, we've all been talking about it. You guys have been on the Trey Mancini train for a long time. Hell, you guys are the conductors of the Trey Mancini train. So he's making an impact every time he's in the lineup. Four homers since getting here. Had the game-winning RBI a couple of nights ago. Getting that guy in there makes a whole lot of sense. And, look, it's hard for me to put Yuli in the death lineup, but over the last week and a half, he's been really good. So I can't criticize him right now.
I'm not sure who would be in the death lineup over Yuli, though. Maybe Aledmys Diaz. I think there's a conversation to be had there.
If he's healthy, you consider it.
Currently on the IL.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm even willing to I don't love Yuli in the second spot because I'm not sure that Yuli deserves to be in the second spot of this offense, even though he's been better in July, August, much better in July, August. But I'm even willing to concede Yuli in the second spot if the trade-off is Trey Mancini plays every day. Like, you can have Yuli in the second spot all you want, Dusty, whenever you desire. But Trey Mancini better be in there.
Yeah, that's what I said, and I don't know what you caught on the show, BK, but the one thing that we said was whether there is a conflict between Click and Dusty and a power struggle going on, so far it's actually pleasantly sorted itself out. Because of the Diaz injury, you basically know Mancini should be in the lineup every day, whether Yordan plays left or he does. Because of the Click comments or otherwise, suddenly Chaz is playing center field. Yuli's starting to hit. Bregman's hitting. Pena's doing his thing. And all these things are sorting itself out. Now, catcher's something that we can still discuss, but at least regardless of how it got done, the main thing for me was it's getting done. My guy, it's a trade day every day. That's a song you can play.
Yep, that's a great one. Well done. Yeah, look, you want Aledmys Diaz out there. You want Michael Brantley out there. But the fewer guys Dusty has to work with, the fewer decisions he has to make. I mean, imagine if Michael Brantley was healthy. Look, they maybe don't make the Trey Mancini trade.
If Michael Brantley's healthy, I fear the fact that Trey Mancini may never get off the bench.
Exactly, exactly. Like, who knows if they make the trade, but that's another player decision for Dusty to make. So it's almost like, hey, you take away players. You don't want anybody getting hurt, but you take away players, less opportunity for him to screw something up.
It's like the top nine have to be so far apart than like 10, 11, 12. And even then, he's going to use Dubon to be his personal center fielder for Justin Verlander.
He's just loyal, man.
Yeah, he is.
It's weird.
He's very loyal. Like a couple of nights ago when Rafael Montero blew the game, it was his fault. Like, I didn't agree with the Dusty decision. He should have kept Urquidy in there. I would have said that in foresight. I'll say it in hindsight. But, like, him taking all of the blame for that, that's why the guys like him. And he's just had that loyalty. That's why nobody can say a bad thing about Dusty Baker. No one in a clubhouse ever says a bad thing about Dusty Baker. So he's loyal to his guys, to a fault, I would argue, and I know you guys would too, but that's maybe it shouldn't surprise us that much that the new guys are taking a little bit of time to get in.
I think that's why we had the conversation about the difference between Dusty and Bill O'Brien is everybody wanted to spite Bill O'Brien and get back at because they can stand Bill O'Brien. Everyone loves Pawpaw. I mean, that's the thing why more people are more likely to just forgive and forget as much as possible because it's Pawpaw. If this was Bill O'Brien doing the same things too, my goodness, the reaction would have been times 10.
Yeah, that he's likable, it matters. I mean, he's likable, his resume's a lot longer and all of that. To me, it was more about the criticism. And, like, I don't think anybody's above criticism. Bill Belichick's taking it on the chin right now because he's platooning his offensive coordinators. And everybody's just crushing Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has the best head coaching resume of all time, and he's not above criticism. So no one is above criticism. Deshaun Watson, news came out yesterday, of course. 11 games. You've had a night to sleep on it. You've had a night to let it marinate. Do you think 11 was enough?
No, not at all. But I'm glad Texans fans will get their day in court with Deshaun. Like a 12-game suspension would have been worse than an 11-game suspension for me.
Yeah.
A 14-game suspension would have been worse than an 11-game suspension. And I know the draft pick, yeah, the Browns have a lesser chance to win if Brissett was out there over Deshaun Watson. But I almost feel like that's a small part of the punishment that Deshaun's first game has to be in Houston against
the Texans. I said so too, but do you think that the NFL actually considered that? Because I said it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities, one, from a marketing perspective for that week's games, but two, and more so, the fact that you did what you did and thought you got away with some stuff. Well, here's the extra added bonus punishment. When you do come back, your first game is you go right back into the hellhole that you created.
Yeah, and the NFL copped out. I mean, they just didn't want to deal with the lawsuit, but they would have won that lawsuit. Nobody wins when they sue against the NFL. And look, this isn't the first time. It won't be the last time in regards to the 11 games, right? Weird number. Why an odd number? Why is that happening? Oh, it's not the first time, won't be the last time the NFL makes a decision for ratings and money. That's why they're king. That's why they're the biggest league in the world, because of stuff like that.
See, I don't think it had anything to do with the Texans were week 13. Like it to
the
me
11
it was
the, games?
No, I don't think so. I think it was the negotiation. Deshaun's side wanted 10, NFL side wanted 12, they meet in the middle. Like is that game all of a sudden does it have more storyline, excitement, buzz? Yes. But it's a regional game at noon on CBS. This isn't their A game. It's not a primetime game. Like, does it mean more?
Yeah, I was going to say, that could change, though. And I said, even if it's not the Sunday night game, it can be the game CBS game one on the pecking order game for the most coverage, not just regional coverage, but that could get the most TV sets in the country if it has enough hype around it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, if it's put in prime time, it could be one of, if not the most watched regular season game this year.
You can't, but
it's not going to be in prime time.
It won't be.
Unless,
I know.
I mean, like,
what would it take for
it to be in prime time? Like, the Texans would almost need to have a winning record, right?
Jeremy brings up a good point. That, you know what? They can't do that to Jeremy's broadcasting god.
Oh, yeah. If Nance was on that game, that would
be
awful.
You can't do that to Jim.
Because, he's too kind for that game.
Because I don't know if he'd be accurate when he said, hello, friends, because there's a lot of people that would be enemies watching that game of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's well said. I wonder what the NFL is going to do. They'll probably bury it in the 12 o'clock window to try to make it seem like this is not a big deal. This is just another game. But people are still going to find a way to watch it.
Oh, there's going to be buzz. There's no doubt about that. To what level they capitalize
Welcome
on the
Welcome to the Andrew Cantillon game.
Oh, Catalan.
Yeah,
Catalan.
You mentioned that the 12th game, like coming back for Deshaun is like, or against the Texans is like a punishment for Deshaun. It could also be a reward, though. Like, if he just goes nuts, 300 yards, they blow out the Texans, that's going to feel way more like a reward than it is any sort of punishment.
No doubt. It could go horribly wrong for this city. I mean, to me, and you guys have lived here longer than I have, so let me know on this. To me, this is one of the biggest regular season games in Texans history. They could be 2-9 going in. They could be 0-11 going in.
Remember how big it was when VY came back and then he beat him in overtime?
Yeah. I think it's
the
up
whole
there
place
in terms,
went nuts. This is bigger than that.
I think so, too.
Maybe not stakes, but in terms of, like, vitriol.
Yeah, in terms of the fan base, just wanting to win a game, it might be number one.
Yeah, in terms of, like, I want to beat the
brains out of
this
guy. The opener
against
the Cowboys was big.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some that are certainly that are up there. Shakiest roster in the NFL. Do you think the Texans have the shakiest roster in the NFL?
Oh, man. I know they looked pretty good last night, but the Bears are in the mix there, and the Falcons are in the mix there, too. Yeah, Seattle's pretty close. I mean, their roster's good. They just don't have a quarterback.
And then Jets and Lions.
And then, those teams are there as well.
It's coming up on the Wheelhouse.
You don't know.
Scott Hansen from Red Zone.
Nice.
At 6:15. We'll give away some haircuts, like you guys did. And
you going to do the rooster call?
Oh, Texans in Hollywood tomorrow. Casting call for Houston Texans players. Which actors would be playing the Texans if they were making a movie?
Who plays Andrew Siciliano's ears? Who plays that role?
We don't have him on.
Oh, is he a Texan?
I'll ask Scott about Andrew's
ears. Ask Scott about Andrew's ears.
Yeah.
All right, very good. We'll be listening in the Wheelhouse. Thanks to Sean Mapes filling in for Benedict Brendan today. He's blank on Branham. Thanks to the fine people here at Roosters Men's Grooming Center that had to deal with Joel's yelling and rooster sounds the entire game. Have a great weekend, Houston. We'll talk to you on Monday. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.